Chapter 16. I have heard co-workers speak of having the blahs, and always thought myself blessed that I lacked the ability to provide a host for anything with such an unattractive name. But the last few hours of my workday could be described in no other way. Dexter of the Bright Knife, Dexter the Duke of Darkness, Dexter the Hard and Sharp and Totally Empty, had the blahs. It was uncomfortable, of course, but due to the very nature of the thing, I didn't have the energy to do anything about it. I sat at my desk and pushed paper clips around, wishing I could just as easily push the pictures out of my head. Deborah falling, my foot connecting to Doncevich's head, the knife going up, the saw coming down. Blah. It was as stupid as it was embarrassing and enervating. Okay, technically speaking, Doncevich had been sort of innocent. I had made one lousy little mistake. Big deal. Nobody's perfect. Why should I even pretend to be? Was I really going to imagine that I felt bad about ending an innocent life? Preposterous. And anyway, what is innocent after all? Doncevich had been playing around with dead bodies, and he had caused millions of dollars in damage to the city budget and the tourist industry. There were plenty of people in Miami who would gladly have killed him just to stop the bleeding. The only problem was that one of those people was not me. I was not much, I knew that. I never pretended to have any real humanity, and I certainly didn't tell myself that what I did was all right just because my playmates were cut from the same cloth. In fact, I was fairly certain that the world would be a much better place without me. Mind you, I have never been in a very big hurry to make the world a better place in that regard either. I wanted to stick around as long as possible, because when you die, either everything stops forever, or else Dexter was in for a very warm surprise. Neither opinion seemed like much of a choice. So I had no illusions about my worth to the rest of the world. I did what I did and didn't ask for any thanks. But always before, every time since the very first, I had done it by the rules laid down by Saint Harry, my near-perfect adoptive father. This time, I had broken the rules. And for reasons that were not clear to me, that made me feel like I deserved to be caught and punished. And I couldn't convince myself that this was a healthy feeling. So I battled the blahs until quitting time, and then, without any real increase in energy, I drove over to the hospital again. The rush hour traffic did nothing to cheer me up. Everybody seemed to be just going through the motions without any real, genuine homicidal rage. A woman cut me off and threw half an orange at my windshield, and a man in a van tried to run me off the road, but to me they seemed to be doing it mechanically, not really putting their hearts into it. When I got to Deborah's room, Chutsky was asleep in his chair, snoring loud enough to rattle the windows. So I sat for a little while, watching Deborah's eyelids quiver. I thought that was probably a good thing, indicating she was getting her REM sleep and therefore getting better. I wondered what she would think of my little mistake when she woke up. Considering what her attitude had been just before she got stabbed, it didn't seem likely that she would be terribly understanding about even such a minor slip-up. After all, she was as much in the grip of Harry's shadow as I was, and if she could barely tolerate what I did when it was Harry-approved, she would never go along with something outside his careful limits. Debs could never know what I had done. Not a big deal, considering I had always hidden everything from her until recently. But it didn't make me feel any better this time, for some reason. After all, I had done this one for her, as much as anything else. The first time I had ever acted out of noble impulses, and it had turned out very badly. My sister made a very poor, dark passenger. Debs moved her hand, just a twitch, and her eyes blinked open. Her lips parted slightly, and I was certain she actually focused on me for a moment. I leaned toward her, and she watched me, and then her eyelids drifted closed again. She was slowly getting better, and she was going to make it, I was sure. It might be weeks rather than days, but sooner or later she was going to get up out of that awful steel bed and get to work at being her old self again. And when she did, what would she do about me? I didn't know, but I had a very bad feeling that it wouldn't be much fun for either of us, because, as I had realized, we were both still living in Harry's shadow, and I was pretty sure I knew what Harry would say. Harry would say it was wrong, because this was not the way he had designed Dexter's life, as I remembered oh so well.